So before we begin, let's have a recap of what we looked at in chapter 1. So Naomi leaves the covenant land of Israel to live in Moab, a pagan land cursed by God. Her husband and two sons die, and she continues living in Moab for 10 more years. So this isn't a short time of wandering away from the Lord. This is a long time of rebellion and backsliding. Naomi returns to the covenant land in an act of repentance. Ruth is converted and returns to Bethlehem with Naomi. She knows the God of Israel is the only true God, and she wants to be inside the covenant. And she knows that this is where her salvation lies. When she says, "Your God will be my God," despite Naomi saying in verse 13 that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me, Naomi's experience of God was bitter, but in spite of this, Ruth is not deterred, and she trusts in the Lord in spite of Naomi's bitter experience. Also in chapter 1, the Lord lifts the famine in Judah and provides a way home for Naomi. He gives her an amazingly devoted and loving daughter-in-law to accompany her. And at the end of the chapter in verse 21, she says to the townspeople of Bethlehem, "I went out full and the Lord has brought me home again empty. Why do you call me Naomi? Since the Lord has testified against me, the Almighty has afflicted me." But in reality, Naomi left Judah spiritually empty, not materially full. She returned in repentance and is being made spiritually full again in material emptiness. So Ruth and Naomi, they settle in Bethlehem. And in chapter 2, which we're going to read now, we see the mercy of God is so obvious that even Naomi is going to recognize it. So let's read Ruth chapter 2. There was a relative of Naomi's husband, a man of great wealth of the family of Elimelech. His name was Boaz. So Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, "Please, let me go to the field and glean heads of grain after him in whose sight I may find favor." And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." Then she left and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. Now behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered him, "The Lord bless you." And Boaz said to the servant who was in charge of the reapers, "Whose young woman is this?" So the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered and said, "It is a young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. And she said, 'Please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves.' So she came and has continued from morning until now, though she rested a little in the house." Then Boaz said to Ruth, "You will listen, my daughter, will you not? Do not go to glean in another field, nor go from here, but stay close by my young women. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap and go after them. Have I not commanded the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drawn." So she fell on her face, bowed down to the ground and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?" And Boaz answered and said to her, "It has been fully reported to me all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you have left your father and your mother and the land of your birth and have come to a people whom you did not know before. The Lord repay your work and a full reward be given you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge." Then she said, "Let me find favor in your sight, my lord, for you have comforted me and have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants." Now Boaz said to her at mealtime, "Come here and eat of the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar." So she sat beside the reapers and he passed parched grain to her, and she ate and was satisfied, and she kept some back. And when she rose up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. Also let grain from the bundles fall purposely for her. Leave it that she may glean, and do not rebuke her." So she gleaned in the field until evening, and beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. Then she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. So she brought out and gave to her what she had kept back, after she had been satisfied. And her mother-in-law said to her, "Where have you gleaned today, and where did you work? Blessed be the one who took notice of you." So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, The man's name with whom I work today is Boaz. Then Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, Blessed be he of the Lord who has not forsaken his kindness to the living and the dead. And Naomi said to her, This man is a relation of ours, one of our close relatives. Ruth the Moabitess said, He also said to me, You shall stay close by my young men until they have finished all my harvest. And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young women, and that people do not meet you in any other field. So she stayed close by the young women of Boaz to glean until the end of the barley harvest and wheat harvest, and she dwelt with her mother-in-law. So the same as last time, I want to go through this chapter verse by verse. So let's begin with verse 1, which reads, There was a relative of Naomi's husband, a man of great wealth of the family of Elimelech. His name was Boaz. So remember that 10 years earlier, during a time of famine, Naomi and her family made a choice to leave the covenant land of Israel. During this time, Boaz and the people of Bethlehem, they had not perished from hunger. They had remained in communion with the Lord in their covenant land, and the Lord blessed them, and the Lord blessed Boaz greatly. Now Boaz means, that is the meaning of his name, it means that there is strength in the Lord. But we also read that he is a man of great wealth, which when we look at the original Hebrew meaning, it can also be translated as a man of valor. Now this is the same language applied to Gideon and the other men of valor in the Bible. So we can deduce that Boaz is a great man and one of the biblical heroes as well. But notice also that the New King James Version, it uses the word relative here, which I think is rather a poor translation. The Authorized Version renders a better translation of kinsman. Now this introduces an important word in the Book of Ruth. The original Hebrew is the word goel, G-O-E-L, which means kinsman. So to say that Boaz was a goel or a kinsman was more than saying he was a relative. It's effectively saying that Boaz was a superior relative. He was more like the head of the family, the chief of the tribe. He wasn't just a male cousin. And we then come to verse 2, which reads, So Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, Please let me go to the field and glean heads of grain after him in whose sight I may find favor. And she said, Go, my daughter. So first off, we see Ruth's deference and her devotion to care for her mother-in-law. Notice that Naomi does not command Ruth to go. Ruth says, please let me go. Please let me glean. Please let me work. Now, Mosaic law in Leviticus 19, verses 9 and 10, it reads, When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not wholly reap the corners of your field, nor shall you gather the gleanings of your harvest, and you shall not glean your vineyard. Nor shall you gather every grape of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and the stranger. So what's happening here is that Ruth, the Moabitess, she is learning or knows the laws of Israel. And she's able to claim these laws as her own, as she is now a follower of the one true God, and she is now part of the covenant of Israel as well. And then into verse 3, then she left and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. Now, this would have been a large plot of land, you know, a large area of farmland. And Ruth just happened to go to Boaz's field. However, we know that she did not just happen to go to this place. This is no accident whatsoever. This is providence. You know, the Lord took her there to meet Boaz. Because he is gracious and sovereign. There is no chance or coincidence about this whatsoever. Now, the book of Ruth as a whole describes the Lord's providence in the lives of Ruth and Boaz, also Naomi as well. And it's the Lord's providence which brings them together and start a family in the line of David, and ultimately the Lord Jesus Christ. So that kind of, it reminds me of that proverb, Proverbs 16 verse 9, which reads, A man's mind plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. So in this instance, Ruth and Naomi, they strategized. Ruth has stepped out in faith in accordance with Mosaic law, and now she's experiencing the moving hand of God. So the Lord's providence is weaving all of this, is bringing it all together. We then move on to verse 4. Now behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered him, "The Lord bless you." So this is our first sort of introduction to Boaz, and it shows us something of the heart and character of Boaz. You know, we know then that he is a godly man, and it appears that his workers loved him and had a good relationship with him. Now, this verse, it's more than just pious platitudes. You know, they're very easy to trot out. But these verses show us that Boaz is, he's a God-saturated man, and that his life and character reflected his love for the Lord in all his dealings with his servants and with his betters as well. And as we look at the following verses, so three verses this time, 5 to 7, we have Boaz said to his servant who is in charge of the reapers, "Whose young woman is this?" So the servant who is in charge of the reapers answered and said, "It is a young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. And she said, 'Please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves.' So she came and has continued from morning until now, though she rested a little in the house." So the servant has been watching Ruth while she's been working, and the servant has been impressed with her work and also with her humility. And I just think this is a challenge to us, because just as that servant watched Ruth, so we as Christians are being watched by others. You know, they watch to see how we walk with the Lord. Now, are we like Ruth? You know, are we being a good witness? And also the fact that she does a good job is important, because it also has an impression on Boaz as well. You know, there's one Christian witnessing another Christian's witness. So notice that Ruth does not demand a handout either, and she does not presume the right to glean, because the Mosaic law, whilst it does apply to her, possibly she thinks it might not apply to her because she is a Moabitess. So she asks the reapers, please let me glean. You know, all she wants to do is gather up the leftovers after the reapers are done. And I just think at this point we can draw a parallel with another foreign woman, the Syrophoenician woman in Matthew 15, verse 27. And the Syrophoenician woman came to the Lord Jesus and said, "Lord, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." And we know that Jesus responded by extolling her faith. And Ruth, who doesn't know it yet, she is going to be greatly extolled because of her faith in the one true God, and she's going to be greatly elevated as well. And then as we move into verses 8 and 9, then Boaz said to Ruth, "You will listen, my daughter, will you not? Do not go to glean in another field, nor go from here, but stay close by my young women. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and go after them. Have I not commanded the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drawn." So Boaz is showing Ruth great kindness, even though she is a foreigner. However, he recognizes that she is a fellow believer, and we'll come to that later in verse 12. And he tells her to stay close by my young women so that she would be well taken care of. And he tells her not to glean in another field nor go from here. So Boaz he's protecting Ruth. And in doing so, the Lord is blessing Ruth already, because in his providence, he has guided her to Boaz's field. And Boaz knew that if Ruth stayed in his fields, she would be blessed and find companionship. Companionship with the other young women. She would find protection because Boaz has commanded the young men not to touch her, and she would find refreshment as well. You know, when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink. So this is where we first begin to see Boaz as a type of Christ. Boaz is a companion, a protector, and someone who is able to quench thirst and meet needs. So these are all characteristics of Jesus as well. And in response to this, in verse 10, so Boaz has blessed her greatly. We read, "So Ruth fell on her face, bowed down to the ground, and said to him, 'Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?'" So Ruth is expressing her own unworthiness here by falling on her face and bowing to the ground. And she asks why Boaz's favor has come to her despite being a foreigner. You know, she knew that on the basis of nationality, she didn't belong in the covenant land of Israel. However, she's not a foreigner anymore. She's a follower of the one true God, and she is safely in the covenant. And notice we never ask, or rather, we never see Ruth asking why all the hard things have come upon her in life. You know, she too has lost her husband. She doesn't grumble about it. You know, she's become poor. She's having to rely on charity. And what we see is a humble woman comes before Boaz and recognizes her own unworthiness. You know, why have I found favor in your eyes? And I just think, you know, this is us. You know, this is us as sinful, wretched beings. We are so unworthy, yet somehow the Lord has chosen us to be part of his salvation plan, and we have found favor in his sight, which really is just so incredible. And then notice Boaz's response in verse 11. It has been fully reported to me all that you have done for your mother-in-law, and how you left your father and your mother and the land of your birth, and have come to a people whom you did not know before. So Boaz knows that Ruth has given up everything to follow the Lord God. And it is likely that she would have been better off had she stayed in Moab, but she forsakes comfort in order to pursue the Lord. Now in Luke 14, verse 33, the Lord Jesus says, whoever does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. And that's a real hard challenge for us. But we have the example of Ruth as an encouragement for us as well. And we then come to the crux of Boaz's response, which is, the Lord repay your work and a full reward be given you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge. And I really like that last clause, under whose wings you have come for refuge. So firstly, let's look at the first clause, where Boaz is encouraging Ruth as a new convert to the Lord God of Israel. And we know this, that she is a new convert, because Ruth has put her trust in the God of Israel. Ruth has left her former associates. She has entered fellowship with other believers. She's very low, very humble in her own eyes. She's not humble in her own eyes, that's pride. But she's very low in her own eyes. She doesn't understand why Boaz finds favor with her. But most importantly, she has found protection under the wings of God. Now, this is an example for mature Christians to be like Boaz with younger Christians such as Ruth. Charles Spurgeon said of this particular verse, he said, observe that Boaz saluted Ruth with words of tender encouragement, for this is precisely what I want all elder Christians among you to do to those who are the counterparts of Ruth. I want you to make a point of looking out to the young converts and speaking to them goodly words and comfortable words, whereby they may be cheered and strengthened. So it's an example. Boaz is an example for older Christians on how to mentor and disciple younger Christians. But also notice that though these words were said to Ruth, they are also a prayer unto the Lord God for Ruth. So the example again is for us as Christians is that we should pray for one another, especially for those who are young in the faith, just as Boaz is praying for Ruth here. Now let's look at the second clause. Under whose wings you have come for refuge. And I just think this is it's just such a beautiful picture of the Lord God. You know, the imagery here is that of a tiny bird, weak and helpless, snuggling under the wings of its parent. You know, it's a picture of complete trust. It's a picture of complete security. And there are many verses in scripture which reiterate this imagery. In Exodus 19 verse 4, when the Lord said to the children of Israel in the wilderness, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Also Deuteronomy 32:11, in the Song of Moses, which reads, as an eagle stirs up its nest, hovers over its young, spreading out its wings, taking them up, carrying them on its wings, so the Lord alone led him. Just one more example, Psalm 36 verse 7, How precious is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. There are many other references to the Lord's wings within scripture, but I won't read all of them. It would take too long. So looking at this verse as a whole, Boaz is telling Ruth that God is the one who is providing for and caring for her. Now, Ruth is working diligently in the fields. She's being a good witness. However, we should not see Ruth as the Lord's worker with a sense that the Lord will repay her for her good work. Rather, this is a picture of the Lord as a great eagle. Ruth is a threatened little eaglet coming to find safety under the great eagle's wings. So Boaz is saying that the Lord will reward Ruth because she has sought refuge under his wings, not because of the work she has done, but because she is lowly and has humbled herself to seek refuge under the wings of the Lord. That is why she will be rewarded. And Psalm 57 verse 1 says, be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me, for my soul trusts in you, and in the shadow of your wings I will make my refuge. So in other words, the Lord shows mercy to Ruth because she has sought refuge under his wings. She has counted his protection better than all other protection. She set her heart completely on the Lord and is recognizing the Lord as a complete source of refuge. You know, she's not pleading her own merits, just as we can't plead our own merits because we have none. Ruth is pleading, or Boaz is pleading, his merits and his greatness. So in this context, the Lord is not an employer looking for employees, so to speak. He is an eagle looking for people who will take refuge under his wings. So he's looking for people who will leave father and mother and homeland or anything else that might be holding them back from sheltering under the wings of the Lord Jesus. And, you know, when you shelter under the wings of God, when you hide in him, you know, as a little chick, then you rely wholly on the Lord's grace, you rely wholly on the Lord's strength, and you rely wholly on the Lord's mercy. And then the Lord's glory, and not your own, is displayed, so that you are calling attention to him, you're calling attention to the Lord and not on yourself. So the command here is really just come, take refuge under the wings of God, and stay there, basically. Stay under those wings. Okay. Then moving on to verses 13 and 14, then Ruth said, let me find favour in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants. Now Boaz said to her at mealtime, come here, eat the bread, dip your piece of bread in the vinegar. So she sat beside the reapers and he passed parched grain to her, and she ate and was satisfied and kept some back. So what we have here, first of all, is Ruth showing humility and declaring herself unworthy of favours, seeing, you know, as she was brought up in a pagan land, and that she is not one of Boaz's servants. She's just a stranger. But even so, Boaz invites Ruth to the table and he feeds her. So here we have another example of Boaz as a type of Christ. Boaz invites Ruth to come to the table, and he feeds Ruth until she is satisfied. And Ruth leaves the table full, and she kept some back. So she kept some food back as well to give to Naomi when she returned home. So here we have Boaz is feeding Ruth, who in turn is then feeding Naomi. And we can understand this in a spiritual sense as well. You know, just as the Lord feeds us with his word, you know, so we can feed others with his word as well through our ministry and our Christian witness. And we can also determine from these verses that Boaz is bringing Ruth into the fold of fellow believers as well. You know, he's shepherding her here as a new convert. You know, he's concerned for her physical and spiritual safety, and he's watching over her, you know, just as our Heavenly Father watches over us. You know, our Lord God, he provides for us everything we need. And, you know, that hasn't changed at all. And then verse 15 and 16, when she rose up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. Also let grain from the bundles fall purposely for her. Leave it that she may glean, and do not rebuke her. So here we have another example of provision, of grace and of mercy. You know, this is above and beyond the Mosaic law, which we looked at earlier. You know, Boaz is allowing Ruth to glean from the sheaves. So not just the ground on which it has fallen, but the actual sheaves. She can put her hand into the bundles of hay and or bundles of grain and take out what she wants. And again, you know, this is a picture of the Lord Jesus. You know, when we come to him in his word, we can feast. You know, we can become full. We can become satisfied. We're not limited as to how much we can feast. We can take more and more from the Lord's word, you know, and there's no limit put on it. You know, we don't have to rely on scraps of the word. We have it in its fullness. You know, we have the whole canon of scripture and we can feast on it abundantly. So that's really just an encouragement, really, is to just, you know, continue to feast on that word, continue to be built up by that word as well. And then we look at what happens next in verses 17 and 18, where we read, Ruth gleaned in the field until evening. She beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah, which is about 30 to 40 pounds of barley. Then she took it up and went into the city, and her father and her mother-in-law saw that what she had gleaned. So she brought out and gave to her what she had kept back after she had been satisfied. So Ruth worked hard and was blessed. Now, this would have been exhausting physical work from sunrise to sunset. You know, it says she gleaned in the field until evening. And we should use Ruth's example of gleaning, you know, to glean everything we can from the word of God. You know, we, just as Ruth worked hard, you know, we need to work hard at reading the word of God. And just as Ruth humbled herself, you know, we need to humble ourselves as Ruth did, you know, stooping low to gather every grain, picking up all those words of the Lord. You know, we have to hold on to the word, just as Ruth would have had to hold on to the grain to take home to Naomi. We have to meditate on the word as well. So just as Ruth had to sieve and thrust the grain, so God's word should be sieved through our minds. We should be continually meditating and thinking on it. And we have to be made full by the word as well. So just as Ruth and Naomi ate the grain and were satisfied, you know, we have to feast on the word of God and be satisfied as well. And we then have Naomi's response to Ruth up next. And her mother-in-law said to her, "Where have you gleaned today and where did you work? Blessed be the one who took notice of you." So she took her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, so she told her mother-in-law, sorry, and said, "The man's name with whom I work today is Boaz." Then Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "Blessed be he of the Lord, who has not forsaken his kindness to the living and the dead." And Naomi said to her, "This man is a relation of ours, one of our close relatives, or one of our close redeemers." So now we have Naomi. She is recognizing the Lord's goodness. Now compare this Naomi with the previous Naomi in Ruth chapter 1 verse 13, where she returns to Bethlehem and she says, "The hand of the Lord has gone out against me." And Ruth chapter 1 verses 20 to 21, she says, "Do not call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full and the Lord has brought me home again empty. Why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has afflicted me?" This is a complete transformation. You know, Naomi is now saying, "Blessed be he of the Lord." You know, she's praising God now. She's being transformed and she's no longer blinded by bitterness. You know, it's interesting that, you know, we look at Abraham, he becomes Abraham, Jacob becomes Israel, and so on and so forth. Naomi says to everyone, "Call her Mara," but nobody does. She's still Naomi. So she's not remembered for her bitterness, which is, you know, something to be glad of. But what we have here is, you know, the light of God's love has finally broken through and it's bright enough for Naomi to see. You know, she can now see the Lord's goodness and mercy and she's able to proclaim it. So here we have Boaz blessing Ruth, who in turn has turned into blessing for Naomi. So there's a chain reaction, so to speak, going on here. And we then come to the final verses in chapter 2, verses 21 to 23, when Ruth said, "He also said to me, 'You shall stay close by my young men until they have finished all my harvest.' And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young women, and that people do not meet you in any other field." So she stayed close by the young women of Boaz to glean until the end of barley harvest and wheat harvest, and she dwelt with her mother-in-law. So this is not just provision for today, but provision for the future as well. It is until the end of the barley harvest and the end of the wheat harvest. It's not just for one day that Boaz is providing for Ruth and for Naomi. And it's in this chapter that Boaz is revealing himself as the kinsman redeemer, as we said, which is a type of Christ, you know, through whom Ruth and Naomi will be abundantly blessed. And we'll read more of those blessings when we come to chapters 3 and 4. So really, just to conclude this chapter, you know, let's just remind ourselves that the Lord is full of loving kindness. He is full of tender mercies, and he is good to all who take refuge under his wings. So just as Ruth did before Boaz, let's fall on our faces, bow before the Lord, confess our unworthiness, and take refuge under the wings of God, and just be astonished at his grace, and be astonished at his mercy as well.